This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. What a beautiful day here in the Mile High City. Hope everyone has a great, great weekend. Well, we've got a new guest for us today, Kim Happensure. She is with Senior Care Authority, and it is great to have Kim in studio. And we're going to be talking about something today about senior driving. And so, Kim, first of all, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me
today. It's great to have you in. All right, so Senior Care Authority, take just a couple of minutes and kind of tell us about your business.
Sure. So we are in elder care consulting as well as we do senior living placement, and we help families navigate the vast industry of, you know, making decisions, the tough decisions, mm-hmm. on what they're going to do for their loved ones. You know, whether it be they stay at home or whether they need immediate placement or if they're just looking in the future, we help them navigate that because, a great example, just in my area alone, there's 470 communities.
Wow.
So I can help narrow those choices down and help you make the right decision on their next steps.
Sure. Because everybody's situation is different, isn't mm-hmm. it? I mean, you don't know what kind of care the loved one may need.
Right.
And so I would not want to try to just Google some different spots. And I mean, if you've ever looked for an apartment, even through your life, I mean, that's a pain. I can't imagine doing something for a loved one that may need some care.
Well, you're right. And a lot of times, you know, they thank us over and over. I've helped over 1,200 families. So in doing so, they've all had different situations.
Sure.
You know, we've even got some, especially going through this pandemic, the isolation and being alone at home, they are actually ready to get out. And, mm-hmm. you know, they get moved into even an independent living. They start having fun again. They start making new friends and sharing meals with one another as opposed to being in their home.
Okay.
Day in and day out without seeing family or friends.
Right.
They've gone through a lot in the last year and a half.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, we could take the whole show and just talk about the pandemic and all the that caused, I mean, stress for all of us. I don't care how old you are.
Absolutely.
It was stressful. And then, you know, not being able to see family members and going and visiting them. And man, ugh.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough on everyone. But we are here to help narrow those pathways down because, again, a lot of times, you just, like you said, you Google, it's so hard, you don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So just step by step, we help with that process, and we help with transition, and we also follow up with families after they've already made that transition to make sure and ensure that they're getting the care that they need and they deserve.
Sure. All right, and we're going to have Kim on several more times here and go through a lot of things just to help our senior community and caregivers. But today, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about topic of driving. So we've also got Matt Gurwell joining us. Matt, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm doing fine. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing well. And Matt is the program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity program. So Matt, kind of tell us about this program and, or let's give us a little your background and then what this program is all about.
Sure. So Scott, I am a retired Ohio State trooper. And, you know, going through my career of 25 years, which, by the way, I loved every minute of, but I saw that there was a void in the system, so to speak, on what we do. I'm in Ohio, of course, but not only what we do in Ohio, but across the country with older drivers that may be experiencing a diminished driving skills, either physical or cognitive diminishments. And I just want to make very clear that I'm not talking about all older drivers. In general, many of them, men, are still excellent drivers and will be for years to come. But I think we'd all agree that there is a certain part of that population that is experiencing some decline in driving abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there was a problem with nobody really wanted to be the person or the profession to tell this person that they probably shouldn't be driving any longer. That's not always a pleasant conversation. So that's what we started doing here upon my retirement. We started a company that developed this Beyond Driving with Dignity program to help older drivers make the right decisions about their driving future. And that can be anything from, look, after we meet with them for this 3-hour session, it can be anything from, look, Mr. Smith, I think you're doing an outstanding job. Keep up the good work. And if anything changes down the road for you, call us back, to the other extreme. And the more often the case that, you know, I'm not sure you should continue driving again. So that's what this program is designed to do, is to help mediate that conversation between the families and the older drivers themselves, so that they can face this issue. I'm talking about the older driver,
right?
And possibly retire from driving, but still maintain their dignity in the process. And that's why the very name of the program is Beyond Driving with Dignity, because we place a huge amount of emphasis on helping the person maintain not only their dignity, but also their pride and their independence as well, through what can certainly be one of life's most difficult transitions, and that is that of a driving retirement.
Sure. You know, because it's tough. I mean, let's take the parent role and child role. I mean, I don't care how old you are, you're still the child, and then you're trying to take the keys away from the parent. And
absolutely,
that conversation, yep, a lot of times doesn't go good, because that's kind of their last end to freedom, getting out and doing what they want. So, boy, I can see where this would be a huge help in just, you know, taking us out of it, so to speak, and then you telling them, hey, you know what, you don't need to be driving anymore. That's not us telling them.
Right, exactly right, Scott. And the older drivers typically are a lot more receptive to not hearing it from a family member. And that's what we try to serve that role as an independent third-party opinion, coming in and trying to help the older driver and the family make the right decisions about their driving future.
All right. So, Kim, if someone wants to take this course, kind of tell us the process. I mean, do you go to them, they come to you? How does all that work?
No, absolutely. So we'll meet with the family. They'll reach out to us. And generally, there's an interview process, basically. There's a lot of questions that we ask them, and then after all those questions, to just start building that relationship, mm-hmm, and then we will come to their home, and I will sit with them, and it's about 3 hours that I spend with them, and we perform multiple, you know, not only the questionnaires, but a lot of it is based on building the relationship with that senior and that trust first.
Sure.
And I think starting from there, that makes all the difference in the world. What is it, Matt, that you say they figure out if they like you within 30 seconds of meeting you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then everything else that takes place during that session is seen through that filter. So Kim is exactly right in what she said. I just want to reiterate that a lot of this time, this 2.5-3 hours, is dedicated to earning the trust and building a positive rapport with this person, so that if at the end they shouldn't be driving, they either say that themselves, believe it or not, they offer that opinion up, or at the very least, they're receptive to what Kim has to recommend.
Right. No, absolutely. Once again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Kim Haffinscher is our guest with Senior Care Authority, and also Matt Gurwell. And Matt is the program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity. And if you'd like more information, you can call 720-625-2782. That's 720-625-2782. So, Matt, what stats are out there, kind of? I mean, boy, you know, it seems like traffic is back. I don't know about we're in Cleveland, but I'm telling you, you know, for a long time during this whole pandemic, it was kind of nice being on the highway. I mean, nobody was on the roads, and, you know, traffic was way down. I do a show with a personal injury attorney every week, and, I mean, accidents were down, which we're thankful for. But, I mean, their business just stopped. And now, wow, traffic is very heavy. But what are some of the stats with senior drivers?
I'll tell you two that I like to make mention of most often. And, of course, there are infinite number of statistics available. But the two that really resonate the most with me are, number one, that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, says that on average now, Americans are actually outliving their safe driving years by 7 to 10 years. So the good news is we're living longer. The bad news is our driving abilities are not, right now, they're not able to keep up with that extended life expectancy. So that being said, then, Scott, all of us can expect the day to come where it's just no longer safe for us to continue driving. So that's one of the things I like to encourage folks of any age, is to kind of develop your plan B now, because if you live long enough, your plan B to maintain your independence, because if you live long enough, you're probably going to outlive your safe driving years.
Sure.
So again, regardless of our age, we all need to have a plan in place to help us figure out how will I maintain my independence if I can no longer drive. And the other statistic I like to make mention of, in a two-vehicle fatal crash, so two cars run into each other in Denver, Colorado, and someone is killed in that accident, if one or the other drivers is 70 or older, that person is 3.5 times more likely to be the person killed in the accident, just purely of their age.
Right.
So when I talk, Kim and I talk to groups of older drivers, you know, we tell them that, you know, at 85 years old, you could be the safest driver in this presentation today. But if a younger driver runs a stop sign on your way home today and hits you and someone is killed, there's a 3.5 times better chance it's you, again, just because of their individual's age. And that's primarily due to frailty. There are also some other contributors as well. But basically, that's due to our frailty as we age.
Right. Now, as far as skills that you would consider required for safe driving, what would those be?
I like to break it down, Scott, into two different categories. There are cognitive skills and there are physical skills. The physical skills, of course, are, and we hear this all the time from family members, my mom doesn't see well, or my mom doesn't see well to drive at night, or my dad has lost his hearing, or I think their reflexes and reaction time have slowed significantly. Their strength is not what it used to be. Their balance and their coordination. So those are examples of the physical aspects required for safe driving. And then the other part of that is the cognitive part, your executive functioning skills, your ability to reason and do things like that, mind-type things. And more specifically, Scott, within that cognitive part of safe driving is the whole issue of memory. So many times we, when we have discussions about a particular older driver and we're worried about their ability to remain safe behind the road, we talk about those physical qualities because they're the ones we see and they're the ones that's obvious to us. But we overlook the important role memory plays in older driver safety. I like to even tell family members that if you've got a loved one that's getting lost in places that they've driven to, for decades, it's time for them to retire from driving because memory is such an important piece to safe driving.
Hmm. You know, and not, I want you to be an attorney here, but is there any legal ramifications probably to a family that may know, you know, grandpa or grandma should not be driving? They know 1,000%. they call them sometimes and, hey, I'm here. How do I get home? That kind of deal. And then all of a sudden they're in an accident and maybe kill somebody or, you know, cause a horrific accident. Is a family anyway responsible for that?
Yes. And of course, Scott, as you can imagine, that depends on a million different factors.
Sure.
State to state, jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but it's called negligent supervision. If the family knows that mom is an unsafe driver, then they have an obligation to do what they can to keep her from driving and keep her from preventing this terrible crash that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be held liable. Now, that's only to a certain degree, and they have to prove that they knowingly knew mom was at an risk for a future traffic accident, and hopefully the family has taken steps to do what they can to get her off of the road before something happens. But ultimately, at the end of the day, they certainly can be held liable.
Yeah, and you know, even if forgetting the legal side of it, Kim, I would hate to live with that, knowing I knew it, knowing I had the power to do something about it and didn't, and then someone, be injured or killed because I didn't do something. That's a lot to live with, even if the legal area doesn't get in there.
Absolutely. And actually, when we did our extensive training, so I would be better prepared to actually meet with these families, Matt had shared a lot of statistics with us just in regards to loved ones that have passed away, that they've just lost their way. And the stories were just, they're endless.
Right.
So, I feel our responsibility is just to always do the best we possibly can. But again, a lot of times, me telling my father, hey, Dad, it's time for you to give up the keys, he would be like, oh, yeah,
right.
I raised you. I provided for this family. Sure. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I think that, you know, just the training that he's provided for us, it's really going to help us to kind of walk these families through this step by step, as well as right. building that relationship.
And so,
Kim,
go ahead, Matt.
Kim, it really puts the family in an awkward position. You know, exactly what she said again. You know, mom or dad are the folks that taught us how to use forks, right? When we were back to, and now all of a sudden the roles have reversed, and we're the party charged with telling mom that maybe she should discontinue driving, and that's a very difficult conversation, of course. And this program allows the family an opportunity to outsource, so to speak, what I like to call the dreaded driving conversation.
No doubt. Once again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Matt Gerwell is with us, program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity, and also Kim Havensure. She is with Senior Care Authority. And Kim's number, if you want more information on this or the placement for maybe a loved one, give Kim a call, 720-625-2782. So, Kim, I'll let you start, and then, Matt, you can add in anything you want. But is there any kind of self-assessment thing you can say, okay, look, you guys, if we've just brought up something that you think, man, we need to pay more attention to that, what can a loved one maybe do with, you know, the one they're concerned about driving on their own?
Okay, well, Matt, I think I'll let you take that one because Matt speaks to it more fluent than I do.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Yes, Scott, that is exactly what we call this this 2.5-3 hour one-on-one session is a self-assessment. Kim, but and let me explain that, please. Kim and I and the others are not driving assessors. All we do is facilitate a self-assessment. And as Kim mentioned at the start of this show, we just bring a basket of tools to the older driver, a very learning conversation, and all sorts of tabletop pen and paper type exercises. And we just facilitate, again, the individual working through this program. And then at the end, they are ultimately still the decision maker. So, again, this is not it's a clinical driving assessment. We don't have the authority, nor do we want to have the authority, to take away the person's license and their keys. Our objective is to get him to assess himself, and that's the role we serve, and then give him the opportunity to make the right decisions about his driving future. Interestingly, I'm sure most of the listeners are thinking, well, that sounds great on paper, but you're not going to get my dad to voluntarily say, okay, right, I should give up driving. But interestingly, Scott, two-thirds of the people we meet with for this session actually do retire from driving as a direct result of this session. And the whole thing, again, is designed to involve the older driver and empower them to make the right decisions. We talked earlier about the value that of trust building and building a positive rapport with this person. And I mentioned a learning conversation where Kim will come in and she'll sit down with the older driver and she'll ask him or her a million different questions, a lot that you would expect to be asked of someone who's driving is being questioned. You know, what medications do you take? How many accidents have you had? How is your vision? Things like that. But, Scott, we also ask them questions like, what was your favorite vacation as a child? Or what was your first car and what do you remember or not remember about it? And every time you ask an 80, 85-year-old person that question, the same thing happens. They get this giant grin on their face, and they're happy to go back and talk about their right. very first kid. I had one of my favorite responses was a gentleman that I met with, and his wife had passed away some time ago. And he said, my first car was a 19-something-something-something. I don't remember just what it was. But he said he added that it had a bench seat. And he said that allowed my wife and I to sit next to each other in the car and smooch. but the point is, right. it took him back to a very, very happy day. And it releases those feel-good endorphins that we're always hearing about, not only for the older driver, but also for Kim or I. You know, sure. that's fun to go back in time with that person. If they were in the military, and oftentimes these are World War II or now Korean War age veterans, the men particularly, but many times the women as well. But we talk to them about their military experience. And again, it's something they enjoy talking about. You know, typically their family members have heard all of Dad's war stories, you know, and dad's friends are starting to pass away. You know, we're getting older, and so they don't have anybody to share those conversations with and those memories with.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a lot of clinical, more data oriented type questions, but some of it just as well is just to build this sense of trust with the person.
Right. So, Kim, is there a way to have these conversations? Because, again, I think the word independence is what people would say they're giving up if they can't drive. How can you still make them feel like they have some, you know, dignity and independence, like we're trying to do here, when you're, you know, do decide that they shouldn't drive anymore? Do you still try to leave it up to them after you have the conversation? Or do you just tell the loved one, man, there's no way your loved one should be on the roads?
Yeah, and generally Matt's right. A lot of them do make that decision on their own after performing all these tests and answering all these questions, and they recognize that they are no longer probably safe behind the wheel. And something that Matt actually, at the end of it, after we speak with him, he actually signs a certificate. It basically states that, you know, he's consciously made the decision to no longer drive. And then there's also a health. What is that called, Matt? The form that they are actually asking for help moving forward with the driving,
Exactly. It's an invitation to help form for the driver that is going to indeed retire from driving. And it just, look, it's meant to, for the individual to be able to maybe post it on the church bulletin board or, you know, organizations they belong to, and all it says is, look, you know, I've decided on my own to retire from driving. There might be times where I could use a ride. If you think you're somebody that could, you know, maybe help me with that on occasion, you know, here's my phone number. But families have found that very helpful over the years. It's certainly not a solve-all problem, but or solution, rather, but families have found it helpful in certain conditions.
Right.
Sure.
So, Kim, do you suggest for the family member to approach the subject with the loved one and kind of talk to them a little bit before they call you in, or just let you break the news?
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously the conversations have to start at home. And what I like is the family involvement, where everybody kind of joins in and they all express their concerns to their parents. And, you know, Matt's even put together a workbook. So if it's something as simple as the family thinks they can probably navigate this, there are workbooks available out there. If they feel that this is absolutely no way they're going to be able, or they've brought it up, I just heard a conversation today. A woman, they asked her to please stop driving, and she said no. They took the car keys away. She went out and got a rental car and continued driving. So she just kept this, she kept moving forward. And they got the rental car keys, took that away, then she found another way of driving. So a lot of times in those instances, they've tried everything possible. Mm-hmm. They've exhausted all options, and that's where we come into play.
Right.
And that's when you come in and bring in that third party, like Mac was saying, so that we can help them navigate these decisions without having to steal the keys every different car they're able to get access to.
Sure. So, Matt, during this 3 hours, basically, I mean, kind of just walk us through the process and kind of the steps of that.
Sure. So like Kim alluded to, we interview the family in advance to find out what their concerns are and just to get a rough idea of what their medical situation is and things like that. And then we sit down with the older driver. Kim was right. We do it at the individual's home. We like to say at their kitchen table, the one place in the world they're most comfortable.
Right.
And then we spend the next, we say three, it doesn't generally take that long, 2.5-3 hours, going through this learning conversation that we talked about where we ask all of these questions. And then along the way, Scott, we're doing different cognitive exercises. About 8 of them, I believe, are in the session. And then at the end, we make a recommendation to the individual that you're either A, at an elevated risk for a future traffic crash because of the natural aging process, or B, you're not in an elevated risk for a future traffic crash. And then we have a very nice discussion with that person. Typically, believe this or not, even if we're recommending that they retire from driving, those conversations are still very cordial, very cordial and mature and they're beneficial conversations. But then once we get that ironed out with the older driver, you've explained to him that I don't think he should continue driving, and here's why I say that. And you, of course, they're going to want some discussion surrounding that. They're going to want further explanation on things and a better understanding of why you're saying that. And then that last half hour, Scott, we invite the family to come back in now, where during the bulk of the session, it was just Kim and the older driver. Now we invite the family back so that everybody can hear straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that mm-hmm. I think your father should retire from driving, and here's why I say that. So the older driver is still involved in that conversation as well, and then we show the family and explain to the family what types of exercises we did and how he maybe didn't necessarily perform well on certain ones of them. And then we have a nice discussion, too, about how this person can maintain their independence despite a retirement from driving, because that's what this is all about. You mentioned it, Scott, that they want to maintain their independence. They don't want to be, nor should they be, placed under house arrest.
Sure.
Just because they made the right and the difficult decision, but right decision, to retire from driving. It's disappointing to me that sometimes we almost seem to punish older drivers for making that tough decision, because we just turn around and leave them then sitting at their empty houses, otherwise empty houses. So we have a very nice discussion on different things available in that particular community. The family is typically very helpful in those conversations. They're offering up different suggestions on how they can help Dad maintain his independence. And like I said, 9 times out of 10, they're generally very positive conversations. And then when we leave the house, Scott, the magic of this whole thing is the older driver is not irritated with anybody because he's involved in the process from the moment you sat down at the kitchen table. And he knows, too, because we remind him several times during the session that you're still the decision maker.
Yes, sir. Great information. Yeah. And Kim, we got about 30 seconds here, and I did not mean to leave this to the end, but the cost. Let's talk about that for a minute.
So the three-hour visit, 2.5 to 3 hours, is $400.
Okay.
And generally speaking, that's probably the best $400 you're
going to spend
in lieu of what an accident looks like or anything else for that matter. So, again, I really can't stress enough that we're here to help. We're here to be a part of your decisions. We're here to help them make that decision on their own and keep the dignity that they deserve.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, hey, thanks for being with us again. We will do this more, because this is a very needed topic to help people with, and we appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for having me.
All right. And Kim, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Kim's number, 720-625-2782. You can check out the website, seniorcareauthority.com/Denver Metro. Again, that's seniorcareauthority.com/Denver Metro, 720-625-2782. This is Haystack Help Radio.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month, and now insurance has paid you. It's your money, and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
At Flesh and Beck Law, your attorney sets you at ease from the first meeting so you have the space to think clearly. After an injury, you immediately start worrying about how you will afford the healing process. You start thinking about insurance deductibles, physical therapy appointments, vehicle repairs, and how to pay for rent in the meantime. Listening to one calm, qualified voice throughout the process will help you think rationally instead of making decisions based on anxiety. Call Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no-obligation consultation, and you will talk to a lawyer right away, not some legal assistant who just wants to find out how much money your case might be worth. Then, once you and your attorney both decide to move forward with your case, you will continue working with that attorney the whole time. The same person who meets you for a consultation will also sit beside you in court. Eliminate the fear of the unknown. Call Flesh and Beck Law at 303-806-8886.
Hey, Dan, you know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are with us. Our show today is brought to you by Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist. Their number, 970-342-2231. And we've got a studio jam-packed here today. And so I'm going to introduce our special guest. We've got Luke Colwin with us from Elite Regenerative. We've also got Dr. Jim Seaton. Dr. Seaton, good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
And Luke, I guess I'll let you say
hello. I appreciate it.
How are you? All right. And we've also got Dr. Jeff Donner with us. How are you, sir?
Good.
All right. And the young man himself, Mr. Don Horn, is with us. Don, good to see you, bud.
Good to see you. Thanks, Scott.
Man, it's always good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Even though he was a Packer, not a Cowboy. All right.
It was a Bronco, too.
I know, but, man, I'm still wishing Landry would have called you instead of Lombardi on that draft day. What was that like, Don? As a young man.
Totally different back then, I tell you. Listen to the radio.
And Lombardi on the – did Lombardi actually call you?
His secretary.
Okay.
But I'm listening on a radio back then, a little room like this right here. We're listening to the draft and this and that. All of a sudden, the phone rings, and is this Donald Horn? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, this is so-and-so. Please hold for Coach Lombardi. I thought they were jerking my chain. but that voice came on, you know.
Then you knew.
You hear the voice, and I hurtled a lot, tell you that. you haven't lived till you got your fanny chewed out by Vince. But he came on, and he said that the Kansas City Chiefs were picking right now in the first round, and they had the next pick, and asked me if I considered being a Packer at that time. And I'm certainly. And he said, well, ask me a few other questions. And he said, I'll call you back in 15 minutes. And he called back and he says, welcome to the Green Bay Packers. When can you get back here? And, I came back early. I was back there, I think, in June.
Really?
A month and a half, 2 months before training. Of course, then we had 2 months training camp. So
wow.
A little different back then.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And anyway, that first contract was for $180 million?
Yeah, $15,000.
But in today's money, that's probably
$189 million. Wow.
$15,000, but I'm saying, man, that's over $1,000 a month, I think. They're going to pay me to play football? This is heaven,
Wow.
You're young and dumb. I was very fortunate. I caught the tail end of that great era of the 60s with the Packers. A lot of great great guys on that Lombardi team there in the Hall of Fame. And the good thing about it is they're even better gentlemen. They're good character. They're
right.
good assets to society, and they have been.
Sure, sure.
And it was a great experience.
Man, the memories, and very few people in this world get to say they've been an NFL player for sure and didn't have the career like you did.
Yeah, well, some say it should have been longer. Some say, whatever. That's fortunate. I wouldn't trade it for the world. A lot of people said the worst thing in my career was going from a guy like Don Coryell, wide open passing offense, West Coast offense, and going to a Green Bay and, the frozen tundra and that very, methodical, running, run, pass every now and then type of offense. I wouldn't trade it for the world, but anyway. And the Ice Bowl. I want you to remind you about the Ice Bowl.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you about the Ice Bowl.
Yeah.
Being a Cowboy fan. anyway, Let's get back to the regenerative stuff. I wish I could have done this years ago. I mean, I could still play today if I'd have done this years ago.
Boy, no doubt. Dr. Donner, it's good to have you in again, and we certainly have enjoyed our segments with you before. But, again, for those that maybe just turn on the radio the first time and catching our show for the first time or did not catch your earlier segment, give us a little background on yourself, sir.
Well, I've been practicing orthopedic surgery here in northern Colorado for 30 years. And I'm originally from the East Coast where I did all my training. I really like the outdoors, skiing, biking, hiking, the weather. So moved out to Colorado with my family, and I have four children. And I've been enjoying the evolution of orthopedics, especially regenerative medicine, which I find is a real addition to what I can do to offer my patients ways to get better without surgery. Or, you know, sometimes they're just not good surgical candidates, and sure, we have to have some answers, and we're short on them besides the steroids and the traditional medications we use. Like, obviously, the narcotics, and that epidemic is still raging, and obviously most of those people are in pain or were started that way. The non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen and all, I mean, they are associated with serious problems if you use them chronically. In fact, 15,000 deaths a year occur in the U.S. just based on complications related to those. And then certainly hypertension and other related medical issues that don't get associated directly with that death rate. So with that, we're looking for new answers, and there's basically a revolution in evolution with regenerative medicine.
Right. And we said this earlier in our segment, but, you know, stem cell seems to be the key word. But, again, we're just going to focus on the term regenerative medicine because a lot makes up that term, not just stem cell, right?
Oh, yeah, very, very much so. It's a broad field. You know, we're looking at growth factors. There's all sorts of varieties of ways to help the body heal itself. You can pick out one specific molecule that may be causing problems, and you create an antibody to it. That's where a lot of these, like Remicades and things, came out of. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it's a much more complicated orchestra than just one instrument that's causing the problem. And one of the beauties of using your own body's ability to try to regulate that is it's more than just that one missile. You're actually sending, you know, hopefully, you know, the regenerative products that have cells involved, like mesenchymal stem cells, they can kind of sense what's going on and kind of keep up with the changes and modulate the immune system versus knocking out one molecule, which may be beneficial in certain parts of your body, but not in others. And that's one of the problems they're having with these drugs.
Right. Once again, it's Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist. Their number, 970-342-2231, and they are located in Loveland, just right off of I-25 and Highway 34, very conveniently located. And if you know where the new Shields store, I shouldn't say new, it's been there a while now, but the Shields store, they're just located right beside and behind that Shields store there. So, Don, when you look at regenerative medicine and, you know, your history with it as well over the last, like, 9 or 10 years, man, I cannot even imagine the not bumps and bruises, but boy, it just sometimes people with pain just feel like life's over, don't they?
They sure do, and you know, I have a lot of personal experience with that, and I know quite a few people that are, you know, the older you get, you know, they're in chronic pain all the time, and you know, this is a very, very viable approach to reducing as much of that pain as possible, and like the doctor said, without surgery. Mm-hmm. And you know, I first got into it like 9 years ago, and it's been a great help to me, members of my family, you know, personal friends and teammates in the NFL, and former players, you know, even current players.
Right.
I mean, I know current players that are still playing that we're able to get back on the field. We actually, you know, I mean, I remember treating some Broncos with this stuff, mm-hmm, and getting right back on the field in a short period of time, and you know, they were getting the procedure done on their days off, and they come up to Loveland and get it done, and just to get back on the field sooner because you know, the doctors here wouldn't do it and that type thing. But
right.
It's definitely something people should look into. I think I really do.
And your knees and hips, I didn't get a HIPAA release from you, but anyway, your knees and hips. I mean, I can't imagine, man, the years of wear and tear.
I mean, knees, hips, shoulders. You know, ribs. It's one of my back starting to bother me a little bit. Ankles. I guess I broke my ankle one time in high school and never knew it, and found out that years later. I said I never broke my ankle, and they showed me the X-ray where I did. But when you get older, aches and pains. And I remember, I don't know the doctor, but what's the oldest patient you've ever treated?
I think it was 92.
Yeah, 92, 90. I think 92 is what I heard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've known one guy was 92, and some high school kids that are teenagers, they're teenagers and stuff like that. And I know, I don't know how true this is, but they said the younger you are, the better. The better you're going to react to it, I think.
Sure.
Like I tell people, my only regret is I wish I could have done it 20, 30 years sooner than I did.
Right.
I wasn't around then.
Sure.
Well, that would have helped me, too, because when I was in junior high school, I had an overuse injury to my elbow, and it was misdiagnosed and put in a cast. And if I ended up, this is my full range of motion, my dominant arm, which is about half, so I had to switch to left hand and really couldn't make the NBA or the NFL. At least I have a reason, excuse me. I never got that call from Lombardi. Yeah, so I was only probably 10 years old, but anyway. I think if I had that opportunity back then, I think instead of immobilizing it and ending up at Shriners Hospital and trying to get it fixed, I bet you I wouldn't have had this trouble with my elbow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how I ended up in orthopedics is probably a lot to do with that.
Sure.
And then, of course, I had a back injury in college, springboard diving, and that's why I got into spine surgery, because there weren't any answers.
Right.
And we're finding the same process we're talking about using for your joints works pretty well in the spine as well. It just takes longer because there's not good blood supply in the disc where most of these problems are coming from. But no doubt, I mean, as we look, we've treated over 22 different orthopedic musculoskeletal problems, and universally it works well. I mean, some areas more than others. And as I said before, it is a revolution and evolution. We kind of do the same thing almost to everybody because, what is their specific diagnosis? What exactly is wrong with each one of these joints that hurt? It may be different.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, we don't have that kind of precision. We're just using what seems to work well and safely.
Right, absolutely. And as I mentioned, Dr. Jim Seaton is also with us and retired now. Family medicine doc. Yeah, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
All right, so let's talk. First of all, have you had any of the regenerative medicine yourself?
I have not, but
okay.
I'm not far away from it.
Okay. But your appointment's at 4.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. But the aches and pains are there.
Yes.
Man,
yeah, I didn't play professional football, but I spent 4 years in college football and suffered the consequences of that as well. So,
has the pain kept you from doing some of the things that you enjoy in the outdoors?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
And I think that's one thing that, people just, we live in such a beautiful state, and man, it just kills me, when I meet people and they say, oh, what'd you do this weekend? Well, not much. The family went hiking, but I had to stay down, and I'm like, man, don't give up. There is hope. And again, we're not saying by any stretch of imagination or means that this is the end-all be-all for every person listening, okay? But what we are saying is, folks, this is a chance, all right, to let your body heal your body, all right? And I'm telling you, it's an easy consultation, and they will let you know if you are a qualified patient. So, Luke, I'll let you give your input there. I mean, if you say, how's a patient kind of qualify for this? What do you guys look at? Fill us in there.
Yeah, give us a call. We're available to speak over the phone at any time with anybody. So that's the first step. We'll understand your condition, really treat you as a friend, and get you the best treatment options. If this isn't the right place at the right time, we'll get you to where you need to be. You don't need to come in with x-rays, MRIs. We'll get that taken care of. But we'll really start at the beginning and work our way to that end result. If that being what we offer, then that's what we'll do.
Right. So, Dr. Donner, I mean, this is something over the last few years has really exploded, this whole regenerative medicine. And again, we see the word stem cell therapy a lot everywhere, kind of on every corner in a lot of chiropractic offices. But I certainly love the term that we can use with your name, and that is dual board certified. I'd much rather have that than a nurse that a chiropractic office may hire one day a week to come by and inject some people with. We don't even know what with. So let's take that a couple of. When you say dual board certified, kind of explain that for us.
Well, I did a certified orthopedic training in Philadelphia and also a spine fellowship. And then after that, you have to be credentialed and get certification. I'm board certified in orthopedic surgery and I was initially doing general orthopedics and spine, and then eventually just focused on the spine surgery since it was very complicated and got more advanced. And then I did additional board certification in spine surgery as well, so that I'm dual board certified.
Right. All right, so let's just talk about, you know, man, we said in an earlier show, man, to come in your office and kind of do a tour and check your scientific lab, I call it, and people back there working on things. You know, you're not going to see that in a chiropractor's office, and I'm not saying that makes them bad, but I'm also saying is, man, if I'm going to get something injected in my body, and we're all talking about this vaccine here with COVID, and that's why half the people have decided not to get one, it looks like. But, I mean, a lot of things can go wrong there if it's not done right, not the right injection, right?
Yeah, I mean, we do, you know, some practices only do knees or something simple like that, and that's fine. But a lot of them don't even use image guidance like an X-ray. They just do it blindly, which is, you know, the chance of you being in the right place and spending that kind of money is not good.
Yeah,
that's not a good value. So we have all that capacity. Plus, we have a research lab with a PhD cell scientist who's been in this field for 10 years helping us make the product that we obtain from your marrow primarily. And make it the best regenerative product that we can deliver back to you. And that's a process of trying different methods within you know, a safe range, and understanding none of these procedures are approved by the FDA. They're not approved, but we work within their guidelines.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of the problem we're having right now. The FDA is obviously a very important part of safety in healthcare and medicine, but they also don't want to get in the way of innovation because a lot of people are suffering and there are not a lot of great options. Just like the vaccine we were talking about was not FDA approved yet. They're just going for that now, but because of the emergency need, they, you know, fast-tracked a lot of things. So with that, I want to make sure, I do appreciate what the FDA is trying to do, but sometimes they have to kind of give us some room in a safe room area. And some people push the limits. There's obviously the birth products that they use a lot, and it's not FDA cleared for anything in that field of that they're using it in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then just then after the procedure is over, then you say a couple hours, just like any other day surgery.
It depends on your specific treatment plan. Some people, you know, a quick procedure will get you out of there quickly with some specific protocols afterwards to optimize your procedure. Some folks, you know, we offer different techniques, sedation, medication, to where they have a recovery area. You know, they can recover slowly and really cater to them. You're never rushed out. You're here until we think and you feel okay to leave.
Right. And as I've said before, when Dr. Donner was with us, you know, I did this procedure myself about 4 years ago. And again, just for me, just for my story, okay? You know, I mean, I felt 100% relief from the knee and ankle pain, you know, when I got off the table, and really did not have another pain till I was hunting and came down a mountain wrong, stepped wrong, and messed my right knee up. But and Don, you were talking earlier as well that you know, your relief was so good, sir. You went out and you didn't read. You weren't supposed to run a marathon.
I didn't read the protocol and stuff like that too. And I felt so doggone good after you know, the first day after I had my procedure initially, that I went out and did things I wasn't able to do in years.
Right.
And of course, I had a little bit of a relapse. I had to go back and get yelled at, what are you thinking? In fact, one of my old teammates had the same procedure done maybe 6 months before me, and he had it done down in Florida, and he said, doctor, after his procedure, he said, doc, what should I do? And he says, just do your normal daily routine. I said, okay. So the next day he flew to Phoenix and played 36 holes of golf.
Oh my God!
And of course, he had a little relapse too. That's some of the old Packers. That's the way we are.
Right, absolutely. I've had friends that it took 3 months for them to feel something, Dr. Donner. I had friends that it took 6 months for them to feel something. Okay, so everybody's body's different. Everybody's body is going to accept, the therapy different, right?
Well, not only that, everybody's problem's a little different,
yeah,
too. A lot of these patients that may have knee pain, if they don't have, like, a recent MRI of their knee, we've identified it's not only the surfaces of the joint that are potentially causing their problem, but it's actually within the bone marrow itself. Mm-hmm. And a lot more of attention is recognizing the joint as an organ. It's just not the surface. You got the synovium, which covers it and produces a lot of the fluids that supposedly keep it lubricated and
right,
safe and working right, like your car. You need to have it oil and
sure,
oil change
sure,
and things like that. If it doesn't work well, then everything goes in a bad direction.
Right.
But part of that big puzzle of the organ is the actual marrow that actually provides a lot of the nutrients to the cartilage, because it doesn't have its own blood supply. So if you get an MRI and you see a lot, what we call edema in that bone, that's where a lot of the pain is. And if you eject someone's knee joint per se by itself, it may not be getting enough of the pain generator. So those are the ones we'll go back. If they didn't have a recent MRI, we'll restudy them and actually find that and inject into those as well. So this is part of that evolution we're trying to figure out.
Gotcha. Now, let's say someone's had a knee replaced.
Right.
And, it's given them a little problems. They certainly don't want to go through that again. Are there things that can be done after a replacement?
Yeah, obviously you want to go through a workup, make sure, the alignment was right and it
sure,
was technically done well and it's not loosened or there's infection, so you have to kind of go through the traditional workup.
Right.
But we've seen some people that, the tissues that are damaged during that procedure, you resurface the joint, but you're also like stretching the ligament and the capsule. Not everybody recovers that quickly from that part of the procedure, and they have residual pain. And if you look at total knee replacements, which is still a good operation, mm-hmm, it's about 75% of people are satisfied. 25% aren't. I think it's because of that.
Yeah.
And what we've been able to do in select number of those is actually, do the same procedure with the idea that we're not trying to fix the implant. We're just trying to see if we can rehabilitate the other tissues that are still causing trauma.
Right. And, with our Sportsman of Colorado show that we do, and, we do, now hopefully a lot of events will be coming back here after last year with COVID. But, so many, guys and gals that just, say they don't get out anymore because of these mainly knee issues. And so, this is something, again, if it gets you 50, 60, 70, 80% better, it is well worth the consult to come up and see you, isn't it?
Well, everybody has to make that choice.
Yeah.
Our results, we kind of try to be conservative, but 70% of our patients say they're about 70% better.
Right.
But our satisfaction is really high. It's in the 90s because we don't oversell it, and
sure,
we just say, hey, everybody's a little different. And, obviously, if they're still having trouble, we see them back. We even, can do a booster injection or something like that, or work them up further, make sure we didn't miss something more tricky that would cost way too much to do on the front on everybody.
Right.
So we kind of treat most people, and then when we struggle with not getting the best outcome, then we'll do some more elaborate tests.
Right.
I think he's being a little conservative on the satisfaction side. It's like 99.
Yeah.
Well, we try not to go that high because the credibility factor drops. Yeah, sure. 99.
No, but I tell you, over the years, I've interviewed a lot of people, from athletes, friends of Don's, housewives, just regular guys. And I did not have one person over probably 150 interviews that, in their words, weren't 70%
right,
better. Okay. And a lot of them were 80-90% better.
And so many players too. I think of one in particular. He came in from Phoenix, and he got both of his shoulders treated, both of his knees, and he's talking about follow-up, Luke, and that type of thing. And then, you know, I'd call him every now and then, see how he's doing. He said, "Oh, God, my shoulders are great, but this is like months, 4, 5, 6 months. Both shoulders are great. I can lift weights again. But my knees, there's no improvement. And after about 8 months, he calls me up one day and says, "I don't know what happened. My knees are great." Really? All of a sudden, it just kicked in. And yeah. It's just what it is. But it was, you know, like a delayed reaction or something like that. So everybody's different.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, you put it in the knee joint, but if your problem is not necessarily right specifically on the surface, then that process has to circulate around and find its, you know, where the real trouble's coming from. Mm-hmm. And that's part of, you know, why we often will give patients the same treatment intravenously. Because the cells can home into the inflammatory areas you can't necessarily reach with a needle, especially in the upper cervical spine where you get into the risky territory. Sure. We do treat pretty much every segment of the spine from the base of the skull down at one point or another. And, you know, you can safely get a needle a lot of places, but other times you just don't want to take that. So we have other ways to manage that.
Mm-hmm. And, Don, if you look back, I mean, 10 years ago, maybe the aches and pains you were feeling, if you hadn't had this available to you, man, the last 10 years might have been a little more difficult, huh?
Yeah, that's one of my old teammates said of the day. He thinks I probably outlived my life expectancy anyway, so he's on borrowed time, you know, whatever. It's probably because of this.
It's not only longevity, it's quality.
Quality,
you know.
That's so true. That is so true.
And if you can't get out and be active, then obviously your longevity also goes down and your mental health. Sure. I mean, it's just kind of a spiral. So that's why I'm really excited about this field. I mean, I want to benefit. I have. I've had it in my hips, my knees, other areas as well. And, you know, obviously, it's not only helping others, it's kind of self-serving.
Yeah, absolutely. So once again, all of our sportsmen out there that listen to our Sportsman Colorado show, hey, bicyclist, hiker, hey, just want to play with the grandkids, go up and down stairs. It doesn't matter. You know what? As we said, pain changes people's life. And you know what? There's nothing better than getting some relief. And all we're saying is, hey, it is worth a phone call. I promise you that, to 970-342-2231. Come up. Just get an opinion from Dr. Donner and his crew there. And if they can help you, they will. And I promise you that you will get good quality care and you will get an honest assessment of what's going on with you and your body. And they will do all they can to help you. So, Luke, man, we appreciate it.
Oh, we appreciate
you guys coming
here.
Up. And Dr. Seaton, we appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
Good to have you in. And Dr. Donner, is always good to have you in, sir.
Yeah, it's good. Really good to be here with this great group.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. And Don Horn. Yeah.
There you go.
Man, I could sit here for – I wish I had about a four-hour show today because we could just sit here and just talk memories with Don Horn. We're going to have to do that one day.
I talk too much. I get rolling. I won't shut up. But I just want to thank the doctor for all the good work he's done up there, and he's going to continue to work and help so many people.
Yes, sir.
You know, especially old guys like me.
No, hey, well, we appreciate it as well. We want to thank you for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio, and want to thank all of our guests, and we just want to thank you for being with us. Now, listen, if you've got any questions, get in touch with me here at the station. I'll be glad to answer any questions. You know, man, we can let you talk with people that have done this as well, as I say, Don, myself, whatever, and we will be glad to help you anyway we can here. It's Elite Regenerative Stem Cell Specialist, 970-342-2231. We want to thank all of our guests today, but mostly thank you for joining us for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.